हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
We talked about ghee buckets so much. You thought you'd bring one.
I was feeling separation. I got the bucket. I'm looking for the helmet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's the first step, right? I don't know where we are. We're on 24, no?
Yeah.
Any idea of where we are in 24? Because I don't have my little sticky thing. Oh, the moral materialists are on hearing strong statements.
Moral materialists.
Okay. The moral materialists being more... Okay. Okay, what's for this? Okay, so this is the Chaitanya Sixth Sermon to what they're saying. Okay. Okay, here. So this is the extended sense gratification materialist, just from the page before. Enjoy more by creating delicious food. Oh no, here. Leave aside the forest life and increase the glamour of body, furniture, house, and clothing. Enjoy more by creating delicious food, fragrant perfumes and cosmetics. Sweet-sounding musical instruments, vehicles, beautiful artworks, and enticing beds. Increase beauty by building attractive palaces and ride in a variety of automobiles. The excellence of man is his sophistication. Collate history for the benefit of living now. All that, so we had mentioned that before. In other words, you bring out from history what's something that you would do now. People do now, so you show in history what is considered good. You show in history how they were also doing that, right? Or how that's developing to that. Or they didn't do that, and so they had problems, right? All the discoveries made by research must be preserved. Do not believe in anything extraordinary or illogical. That means outside of your own materialistic purview. What you can't grasp from that, then don't get involved in, right? You know, don't worry about that. Where there is a conflict between general happiness and individual happiness, sacrifice general happiness for one's own benefit. On hearing such strong statements, the uncivilized and innocent primitive peoples give up their previous mode of action and begin to improve their life. Belief in the power of the sun and moon, maintaining themselves by hunting and spending their time in the forest like animals, becomes forgotten. In this way, the immoral, intelligent materialist becomes proud. Charvaka and Sardana Palus are examples of people who advocate a life of sense pleasure. The moral materialist, being more intelligent, can easily defeat the immoral materialist. They say, "Oh brother, I respect what you say, but I cannot accept your self-motivated actions." In other words, what you're saying about improve life, develop life, make everything very nice and wonderful, right? Make things sophisticated. Then he says that they appreciate, but that you're doing it simply selfishly. Like here he says, between general happiness and individual happiness, they'll say, no, the general happiness has to be prominent, Because then the general happiness, everybody's happy. If the idea is to create happiness, it should be for the greater amount of people as possible. Individuals just getting benefit from it would not be proper, right? But otherwise, that lifestyle, as mentioned before, you know, leave aside the forest life and increase the glamour of the body, furniture, house, and clothing. Enjoy more by eating delicious food, fragrant perfumes and cosmetics, sweet-sounding musical instruments, vehicles, beautiful artworks, and enticing beds. Right? Increase beauty by building attractive palaces and ride in a variety of automobiles. The excellence of man is his sophistication. Right? Collate history for the benefit of living now. So they'll say exactly the same thing because they're materialists. So that for all materialists, this is what they'll say. Now the difference will come is, are you doing this just for yourself? Or are you doing this for the greater society? Right? That will be the only difference between the two. Does that make sense? So then you have the immoral materialist, right? And then you have the moral materialist, right? Because morality is on the next higher up. If you're respecting others and trying to work with others, then that means then there must be morality, right? Because morality is how the interaction with others is successful. Right? So the Vedas say, for a longer term, even the Vedic moralists will be in a better situation than non-Vedic moralists. Right? Because the non-Vedic moralists are simply going to go by what they're comfortable with. But they don't, like it says, don't accept anything illogical or what was the other term? Extraordinary, right? Anything that doesn't make sense to them. Right, that they it's not there in their culture, or they can't immediately grasp by seeing it. So, by that position, then I lost.
Vedic moralists.
Yes. So then the problem comes is that always changes. So they don't actually know what's appropriate. Well, then I should probably put it farther out. If it's it's blowing this way, right? So you want to put it on that side. But you don't want to put it so close because it blows down and then goes into people's faces. So you put it on the outside so it'll blow in but not in their faces. Does that make sense? So by the time it gets to them, it's already up higher. You know, unless they really like cow dung smoke. Most people aren't that accustomed. You're always around it, it doesn't bother me, but you have to get used to it.
Yeah. Right. So the idea of pranamoy is, that's the
maximum meaning? Pranamoy, to them, because the thing about pranamoy is you're considering others, the emotional platform is there, your arts are there, your economic development, you know, your justice. So it appears that everything connected with the human being is taken care of. Right? So, and the point is they're basing the morality on, you know, in their mind, human nature. Right? What human beings would like, what human beings think is important. So they'll think it's dharma. And because you're doing this for a higher purpose, they'll consider it spiritual. So in their mind, they've covered everything. And if you can also do that with devotion, you know, to humankind. So even you throw in bhakti. So in their mind, they can interpret pranamoy. We all understand pranamoy? Uh-huh. Right? No? Pranamoy means the second level of consciousness, so it's dealing with morality. So they'll think that the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are taken care of. Right? You understand that? Okay. So artha means that's the second level. Dharma is the third. So it's going third, second, first, fourth. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, right? So they'll consider that it's all, everything's taken care of by that. That's the problem with it. So all your world religions, everything functions on this second platform. Only the Vedic moves to the third and fourth. They're the only, so in other words, in the Vedic, your karmakanda means he's functioning on the third level. Your jnanakanda is functioning on the fourth level. Like that. So they use the second, first and second, but that's not their position of perspective. It doesn't mean that people, if you set the standard at minimum as the third, you'll always get people on the second and first. But if you set it the second, then a few will be the second, most will be the first. Right? And we're setting it bhakti, which is the fifth. You know, and from that, then you get, you know, devotees will have a little bit of mix of the fourth or of the third. You know? Does that make sense? Like that. So that's there. Or sometimes, you know, it's there from the first to the second, but it's minimal compared to, it's not a committed lifestyle, but, you know, sometimes it comes up, you see, in the interaction. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So the moral materialist, right? Now he said, being more intelligent can easily defeat the immoral materialist. They will say, right? Oh, brother, I respect what you say, but I cannot accept your self-motivated actions, right? That's the only difference, right? They are not at all good. You are seeking out happiness in life, but without morals, how can there be happiness, right? So the point is being happy in life is fine. And the way you're seeking it is all, means the principles of what you're talking about, the categories, that's also fine. But that you're seeking it for just for yourself, how will you actually be happy, right? If you're not helping others be happy, how will you actually be happy? Does that make sense? Do not think that your life is everything. Consider society as well. Rules which can increase the happiness of the human being in society are advisable. That is called morality, right? So here it is. Morality is defined as rules which can increase the happiness of the human being in society. Right? Does that make sense? That's a very important point, because when people talk about morality, it's only for increasing the human happiness of human society. It's not there for spiritual upliftment. It's not actually for understanding actually what a human being is or what society is for. It's just what will increase the happiness. Right? But it's not defined by dharma, otherwise it'd be called dharma, not morality. Right? And it doesn't include bhakti at all. Does that make sense? Very, very important, because that's a very clear, that's the basis of this philosophy. The other is, in other words, rules which increase the happiness of the individual person are advisable. That would be the immoral materialist. And then the moral materialist is, rules which can increase the happiness of the human being in society are advisable. That's the only difference. Otherwise, their purpose to enjoy through all those other mediums are the same. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, gaining happiness through morality makes man superior to animals. Right? But the other one's saying, you leave the forest, give up your animal life, but all they do is become a sophisticated animal. Now, by being moralist, then they think, now we've risen above the animal. What they don't realize is until you come, human life starts at dharma, at the third level. It doesn't start before that. It's just a matter of you're an unsophisticated animal or a sophisticated animal. Well, that's all. Human life begins there, but it begins because now you're following the culture of a human being, so it looks like it. But technically, it doesn't become human until the fourth platform, when you inquire, who am I? Right? Because this human nature is temporary. The life is temporary, everything's temporary. I don't think temporary, I think long term. Right? Eternal. So that would mean, who am I actually? That, then we would say, that's actually the beginning of human life. Right? Does that make sense? And then we will say, that's the beginning now of human life, but what human life is actually for is bhakti, the fifth stage. Right? So the second stage doesn't even feature. Right? Does that make sense? It only features as a sub-element of human life, of dharma. Does that make sense? But it doesn't stand on its own, but they make it into its own self-sufficient stage that is complete. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is necessary for man to accept individual suffering where it will give happiness to society. Right? In other words, you know, working what's for best for everybody and all that. That is called selfless morality. Right? So now they've taken it to an extreme. The one is extreme, that is just gross sense gratification for yourself, don't worry about others. And the other is, give up all your kind of self for the society. But the point is what society? What do you owe society? It means, of course, it sounds better as a philosophy, but what's the actual reason you do it? Because who do you see that actually does this? If anybody does this on the platform of Pranamoy, generally they become canonized. Does that make sense? Right? Because who does it? You know? Does that make sense? And so they're not talking about religious people. They're just talking about the regular gross materialist. But he's working for society's gross materialism. Right? So how often do you meet a person like that? Right? It means you look in history. Who will they look at that is something like that? Okay. Mahatma Gandhi is generally well accepted. You know, Martin Luther King, who?
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. You know, but then she's religious. You know, Mahatma Gandhi also to some degree. I guess Martin Luther King was also. Yeah. So, you know, and who else comes? You know, maybe Joan of Arc. You know, kind of like that.
What about the communists?
The communists? You're really gonna go? You really want to go there? Mao Zedong, he did. He was working for the benefit of society. means of course, if you get rid of half of them, then that means that there's so much more for whoever's left. No. It's kind of like a.
I mean, his intention.
Yeah, but his intention is good. So was Hitler. Hitler was trying to create a higher form of human life, right? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you know, I don't want to make you feel bad, but that part of the world that you know you're discussing now with the communists, they don't fit into that. Not even the Cubans, right? You know, hair's too dark, right? It's supposed to be blonde, right? And eyes are the wrong color. They're supposed to be blue. And they're supposed to be really tall. But when they're tall, they're not big and fat, right? You know, they're tall and thin. So, in other words, if it was up to them, then except for Northern Europeans, there'd be no one else left on the planet. Or at least everyone else would be slaves serving the higher caste. You know, I'd say in the beginning it's just, you know, they'd have to do that. But after a while, what do you do with everybody? You know, and who'd be left? You know, all these guys can do work. Does that make sense? So their intention was good. Yeah, you know, I'm sure is that, you know, it's like in Bosnia also. They just thought, you know, the neighborhoods are too mixed in all the ethnicities. So if you just make it down to one ethnicity, then it's very simple, very nice, everybody thinks the same, the community spirit, the interaction, everything's great. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So intention of that is okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the general society thinks that they were great.
Sorry.
But it means in history, how many guys tried to kill Mao? I mean, okay, no one was successful, but how many tried?
Many.
Okay, so that means there must have been something underlying that people didn't appreciate, right? Same with Hitler.
Also, many people worship him, even until today.
Of course, that's okay. But the point is, so then, okay, then he's one guy in China. Okay. One, right? And China claims that they've been there for some thousands of years. When was the Yellow Emperor? How many thousand years ago? About 5,000 years. Okay, so in 5,000 years, the Yellow Emperor and Mao Zedong. Okay, two guys. Okay, that's what my point. So you got two guys there. You know, Europe. Then, if you want to go that line, then we have, you know, we have Tito, we have, you know, Hitler, most Mussolini, and you know, a couple other people, you know, like that, Francis of Assisi, you know, throw him in there. Napoleon.
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood. The Three Musketeers. Like that. King Arthur of the Round Table. You know what I'm saying? So you have a few here and there that are, you know, greatly accepted that they work for the benefit of the people. So how many have we talked so far? We haven't even gotten to 10 yet. you know, over the last 5,000. 5,000 on this side of the world, and on that side you only have 3,000, you know, years. You know what I'm saying? So that's 10 people. I'm sure if you get into it and really research, you can throw in another 10, 20 people. But out of billions and billions of people, how many were of that level? So what we're saying is the concept of extended sense gratification doesn't really work as a philosophy, because no one's really taking it up. Does that make sense? Yes.
So then when devotees, they drop to this level,
yes,
then it's actually, for a devotee, it's not very advanced level.
No, it's not advanced at all. No, it's not at all. That's why it means morality is important only because of its connection to Dharma. Dharma is important because of its connection to Sad-Dharma. So if you don't make those connections, then morality basically doesn't have any value other than you're a really nice animal. That's all morality does, is keep you a nice animal. You know, a deer, or if you're more active, maybe a bee or a termite, you know, something like that. You know, something works together, right? You know.
Yeah.
You know, ants, yeah, okay. You know, like that. So that's as good as it gets. You know, they have authority, they have structure, they do their duty, you know, they're willing to sacrifice their life for the benefit of the colony. You know, deers are refined, they're into music, they like music, you know.
Nice sense.
Nice sense, yeah, you know. But, you know, nice sense, you know, the French guys with big noses, right, you know, then, good at scents, you know. There's that one city where they do all the fragrances. I can't remember. You know, I think it's in the south. It's one city that all the fragrance factories, they all started there. That's where all the best flowers grow. It's a very special valley. It grows really nice flowers. So the whole French industry started there back in the 1700s. They go back to that time. Nobody hears about it. If you're in France, then they talk about, you know, Paris, this, you know, then that place, but no one else knows about it. But, you know, so the guys there, they have these really good noses, right? You know, they insure their noses, right? Your nose is insured for like $1 million or something like that. You know? So, yeah, like that. So, you know, the insurance company makes sure no one hits you in the nose, right? You know, otherwise, it's very expensive. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Why, like, we say that the four stages of life, so dharma, artha, karma, moksha.
But dharma is human life begins there. At artha, even though one is very good at that, you're not considered human.
So then why artha is the second one, the higher stage?
It's lower. It's going dharma, artha, karma, and then moksha. Because you start from dharma comes artha. From artha, you have sense gratification, right? If you don't have dharma, why would you get any good results to have any money? And then with money, you can get your sense gratification. And after so much sense gratification, you figure this is pretty stupid, so then you go for liberation.
So why don't we say that it's artha, karma, and dharma, then moksha?
No, it would be if you're going from the bottom up, when we're talking consciousness, we go artha, kama, dharma, moksha, bhakti. Kama is the bottom. Artha is the second level. Because artha means you're creating economics, that means everyone has to cooperate together. But we're talking in that level of economic cooperation, how many people are saintly? Because we're discussing a philosophy here that's saying, don't give up your own individual necessity for others. It is necessary for man to accept individual suffering where it will give happiness to society. This is their philosophy. We're discussing materialism. Does that make sense? So we're saying within materialism, then we're talking about the ones that gave up and took accepted material suffering to give happiness to society. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about. Who does that? That was what our list was.
I have confusions. We also...
Okay, so here's another one. Now, I would have more of a tendency to accept him than I would...
Confucius.
You know, Mao Ji. Because how much did he sacrifice? Personally.
Yeah, but he also done a lot for the country.
That's another thing. But at his own personal sacrifice?
Yeah, he also lived a simple life. And he sacrificed his family members for the revolution.
He sacrificed a lot of people's family members for the revolution. That's why you have a country called Taiwan. Those are the ones he couldn't catch to sacrifice. Yes, we're talking about materialism here. We're not talking about someone just doing good work for the country. That's nice. But the point is he's talking about how the individual is looking about their accepting their own individual suffering. Does that make sense? For the good of the whole, which is basically the element of the communism or socialism, right? So this is what they're saying, right? It's nice, but how much religion goes on in China?
Not
much. So that's the point. It's only functioning at the pranamoy. You have the so society there. You see that it economically grows. Justice is followed. People follow whatever activities are good for the society. Not necessarily good for themselves, but what is good for society. Right? That's the level of pranamoy. That's artha. There's no dharma there. Because what's the nature of a human being? Is that being cultivated? What is actually a human being for? For self-realization.
If they get some result, that means they also have some dharma mixed.
No, it means that previously they had some dharma, but it doesn't mean that they're getting that the results from now. Otherwise, how does someone like that have that much power? It wasn't that he did something in this life. He must have done it in previous life. Does this make sense?
Yeah. But
you do better when you stick to Confucius than when you... Okay. So move on. Okay. So, accepting individual suffering will give happiness to society, that is called selfless morality. And is the only path for man, right? So this is their argument. That's selfless morality, right? So the other one is immoral materialist, right? So this is then the moral materialist. So he says that his morality has to be selfless. So the element of selfless is good. But the problem is it's not selfless meaning the actual soul. It simply means selfless means the material identity of the body and mind, that's me. And generally, even the mind, they don't get too you don't want to get too freaky there. You know? You notice a little bit more talking back, because this is a little bit older presentation, so it has a little bit more broadness, you know, but basically since probably the Second World War, that the subtleties are gone. Right before the Second World War, you could talk more Oriental elements than that. It was more common in Western life, but since then you kind of don't get too involved, right? You know, like that. You must cultivate all the positive sentiments such as love, friendship, and compassion in order to increase the overall happiness of society. Right, it means if you cultivate that, society will go better. And then to do that, you have to give up your own selfishness. So it sounds very nice, right? By doing this, violence, hatred, and other evil tendencies will not be able to contaminate the heart, right? Because you're only working on these nice things. Universal love is universal happiness. Take up ways of increasing this happiness. But how do you define, how to express love? how to express friendship, how to express compassion. Right? That's the problem. Like Prabhupada is saying, they're compassionate to, let's say, one group of animals, you know, but another group they're killing and eating. Right? You know, the person, you know, his dog in his house, if he doesn't have it, you know, properly in a nice fence and backyard, you know, he keeps it on a leash that's not right, then they come and the animal rights groups are coming, this and that. But they got slaughterhouses where every day millions of animals are killed and everybody's cool. So he's saying is it's not really this idea of what is universal love. They don't know. So they don't actually know what compassion is or what friendship is or like that. So that has to be based on a higher principle. That you have to go to Dharma. So in other words, he's showing how pranamoy, you know, artha, can defeat someone whose philosophy is kama, right? Sense gratification, right? But it only gets it up to there. Then it has its weakness. Positive is such as, what is it? Kunt.
That's why they say moral, get off your moral high horse.
Yeah, and come down in the mud here with us. No, but the point is there they're proud of that. But the pride, they're not supposed to have pride, because here if they're actually on that moralistic thing, then ethics means you can't be proud, because there must be the element of selflessness. Because if you're selfish, that's the first level. So it's a combination. They have that self-centeredness, though they're using the second level to make themselves important, right? Rather than their senses. So it's a combination, that's why it's a problem. So neither group likes them.
Yeah.
The moralists don't like it, the immoralists don't like it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
It seems for the devotees that most misgivings are in category of dharma and artha, actually.
Yes, well, they want to establish artha, and they have a problem with dharma that it's supposed to be based on. Like that. Does that make sense? Because
yes.
Dharma means what's the nature of it. You know, so they're saying, when you discuss rights, that's artha. Right? And when you discuss freedoms and all that, that's artha. You know? Facilities and, you know, practical and just, you know, we, you know, people need money, they got to have, you know, all that. That's all artha. So generally speaking, who discusses dharma other than opposing it?
Yeah. It's not to follow it.
Yes, not to follow it. It's because our dharma then is authority, and then you don't want that. So authority is only useful in as much as everybody prospers, you know. If it creates restriction in my way, I think I will prosper, you know, materially, then it's a problem. So in other words, people have used, due to the lack of dharma, they've misapplied their position, so they've taken advantage. You know, they, instead of functioning at this high level of pranamoy that they're talking about, they've dropped down lower that and done things for themselves. So in other words, the selfish, you know, the immoral materialist has come out. So then they'll say that's the problem. So therefore authority is a problem. So when the Vedas are there and the sages are there, then basically it's considered that it's in the same category. But the point is no, that's just the way it works. That's authority. One has to accept authority. Right? Because even the moral, moral materialist says that you need authority, because otherwise how do you establish what's good for society? It's just that the authority is not the Vedas. You know? And if they're Indian, then they'll take some things from the Vedas, all the things that support what they say. You know, like they say, you know, make roads, build pukurs, you know, plant forests, do these things. They'll say, do all those different things, because that's good and nice. But when it says, you know, that you should engage yourself in spiritual activities, that they'll say, that's archaic. Funny, it's that digging a well is good, but, you know, spiritual life is not. Why is it the one is still good and the other one's archaic? You know, I mean, look at aqueducts. You know, the Romans used to build those. That's 2,000 years old. You know, come on. You can't get more archaic than 2,000 years, right? You know? Is that work? So that's the point, is that then you approach it from the element of that, that's human life, that's authority. Then it's a matter of seeing how to apply it in the life. Because the point is you can't have artha without dharma. It can't be sustained. And it's just like, let us say, I grow grains in the field. Okay? Having grown the grains, now I have the grains. Right? When I'm growing the grains, it doesn't look like I have any economic development. Right? So someone with shorter vision will say, you know, you're planting all this, you're wasting your time. Where is the gain? Right? But now, if you're patient, then you have a whole pile of grains. Right? Now, having that pile of grains, I can live for quite a long time without planting any more. So then the materialist thinks, see, what do we need to grow grains for? We got grains. You know, enjoy. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on in modern society. Is they're simply living off what's grown from previous pious activities. But they're not trained enough to understand that. So then what happens is then with time it runs out. Yes?
Devotees, they produce more, punya by devotional service, so this
that's there, but do you want to convert it? You know what I'm saying? You can convert it. It's a good conversion rate. You know? Really good rate. But the point is that what you'd want to do?
No. But I meant to say it like, if we follow that logic, that people will very soon run out of all their pious activities, and the place will be really hellish, more than now. And Srila Prabhupada used to say that only by the mercy of the devotees it still survives. And
yes, survive. Means it's there for the devotees to use. Prabhupada already said what, you know, at that time in the 60s. That the people are so sinful that in normal circumstance there be no fruits or flowers. So it's only because of the devotees are still there, because devotees offer them to Krishna. So the reason that they're there is because devotees offer them. Because you know, later in Kali Yuga there aren't fruits or flowers. There's no vegetables, there's no grains, there's no cows. Because they're just too sinful. So I guess at the end of Kali Yuga, they're actually following, if you count, if you're talking in the range of cows, they are vegan. Because there is no dairy products.
Right?
Huh? The cannibals, but they're vegan. There's no dairy products. Okay. So positivists such as Kant and Mill, and socialists such as Herbert Spencer, as well as lay Buddhists and atheists, firmly believe this philosophy. Chaitanya Shikshamrita, 8 page, 327. Right? So this has been Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bringing out, this is what they say, and all these groups, then they very much, so in other words, yeah, you're positivists, you're socialists, you're Buddhists, and atheists, they believe in it, because atheism means you've removed anything higher. Right, because there can't be dharma because that's established by God. There can't be spiritual life because there is no soul. So all you're left with is immoral materialism or moral materialism. So your atheists are going to generally, if there's a little bit of a social element, they'll take the higher one. Right? If they're not, they'll take the lower one, but it won't be popular. Right? So the whole point comes down to is the only thing that will be popular socially is moral materialism. Immoral materialism generally doesn't catch. I mean, people do it, but as a philosophy, it won't catch on. Right? People that worry about philosophy and doing things that's right or good won't take it, because it means the element is, unless you're really confident, yeah, I'm going to be top dog, right? Then it's not going to work out, because if you have a little bit of, you're not sure, then you're always worried someone else is going to be better. Right? So therefore it's not going to be attractive. And what they do here is, we'll say, is, well, what about the element of the supreme? They've made human society as supreme. Right? So that's the supreme. There's selfless work and there's a supreme. So the supreme is the human being, meaning the concept or the impersonal element of humans as a group. Does that make sense? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this can become a tradition.
In the West it's a tradition. Like that. It means you always have it. Buddhism is a tradition. You know, so that's been going for thousands of years. You know, so it's common. It means anamoy, there are people on that. You're scientists, you're children who aren't mature, like that. Adults who are also socially not mature, who are self-centered. Like this. So it's anamoy. They're just worried about themselves. Then if there's more maturity, there's a concept of some higher aspect, then there that has that morality. So then it can be prosperous. Because if you're just working for yourself, everyone just works for yourself, you can't actually get anywhere. You know, it's like the Mauritian frogs, right? You know, nobody gets out of the box, right? But if it's done where there's that working for the general benefit, then you can actually have businesses and therefore there'll be prosperity. So all those things they talked about, you know, developing the culture, developing music and food and vehicles and places to live and fine clothes and fine perfumes, that requires economics, right? And that requires that there must be justice, because if I get a nice house, nobody else comes and moves in. You know, I went down to the market, when I come back, there's 50 people living in the house. You know, that's not going to work so good. Like that. Does that make sense? But yeah, he won't have any problem with that, because there's already 25 living in the house. It's called his own family. So one goes to the market, even if 50 people come, there's 25 will kick him out. Right? You know, so you don't have to worry about that there. But, you know, the West, you have to worry, because it might be only you, you know. Okay. Before proceeding with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis of nirvana, it would do well to examine the five types of religion as seen from the point of view of Panchopasana. Since everyone is by nature a servant of God, every person is said to belong to one of these five principal sects. So this is the Vritti.
Whereas some countries that are very simple and are having difficulty maintaining their level of economy, then they're taking resources from other countries.
Yeah, but the point is the ability to do that, to have had things, and the ability to be able to take things is still from previous karma.
Okay.
Right? It does say on the money, in God we trust. So there was that element of that commitment to religion. The country was started for religious freedom. You know, that you could follow your religious beliefs. So it has that in its own sense, in the Western sense, its own pious beginning. But then if it veers from that, then if you're taking things that don't belong, then you're going to get a problem. But it's not just that, it's the whole Western civilization. It means you look at it, if you take it, means the whole, except for those few places in Europe, you know, and America, just what they didn't bother you don't go over and bother them. They create too much trouble, right? So, but the rest of the world is open, you know, open season. So every region of the world was a colony of those few countries in Europe. And the ones just on the western coast, basically. You know what I'm saying? England, Holland, Spain, France,
Portugal,
Italy. That's it. The rest of the world was controlled by them. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same principle. It's interesting, they don't have a, you know, like you have the G20 or G7. Why don't they have one of just those countries? You know? You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. It means, you know, they were smart. They tried to do it somewhere else. You know, the ones that tried to do it in Europe always ran into problems. Okay. So now Panchopasana. Okay. Baravahi Vaishnavas. Baravahi Vaishnavas. Ask like devotees of the Supreme Lord, only carry the burden of external rituals. Wow. Fall into the categories of Shaktas, followers of Durga, Sauryas, followers of the sun god, Ganapatyas, followers of Ganesh, Shaivites, followers of Shiva, and Vaishnavas, followers of Vishnu. Right, so he's talking specifically about the smartas, right?
Because that's smartas.
Yeah, yeah. No, smartas means Panchopasana means that these are the five deities of the Vedic deities. Now they correspond with the different levels of the consciousness there, like that.
They don't worship them all together.
They might worship them all together, but generally they have their own house deity. You know, so Vishnu might be their deity, or Shiva, or Durga. You know, it does not that they won't do it all, any time. All these worship all the others, but it's not that there's a position. So we see is we're looking at it from the position of what Madhvacharya is saying is that those others are respected because they are the servants of the Lord. So that respect, then you're able to appreciate the Lord's servants. Then one is more qualified to properly worship Vishnu. Because it's mentioned if someone worships only Vishnu and not the devotees. So we're talking about the devotees are there, but then they're taking the demigods. They're more advanced or more responsible devotees. Because they're taking care of things so that you can do your service. Right? Means like, let's say if in the morning you woke up and couldn't open your eyelids. The demigod who was in charge of that was, you know, on vacation. Right? You know? Huh? Yeah, it means you couldn't. I'm saying you're awake, but you can't open your eyelids. Oh, the demigod was sleeping. Yeah, yeah, okay. So then the problem comes is you can't do your service nicely. Right? So that his point is they have to be respected. Does that make sense? So, in that way, then this Panchopasana has meaning, if you look at it from that angle. But they're looking at it, that they're all, each one is the same as the other, and doesn't matter which one you worship, that it's all going to end up at the same position of Brahman. But, somehow, the Vedas say, you know, for this ritual, you worship this one of the five, and for that ritual, you worship that deity of the five.
Could it be karma mimamsa?
Karma mimamsa, they follow all this. No, but it's a Vedic element. So they're drawing from there. So this Panchopasana becomes established that way. Like the Brahma Samhita, that's one of the things that deals with this Panchopasana. Right? So there, that's how we'll look at it, is that they're getting all the power from the Lord, so therefore, just as they're doing their duties in connection with the Lord, so we do our duties in connection with the Lord, so we don't need to worship them. Right? Like that. We'll respect them, but we don't need to do any worship. So, Panchopasana, they're worshipping. Right? Like that. So, he's saying, Sadagrahi Vaishnavas, swan-like Vaishnavas, are non-sectarian, and therefore rare. These five types of above-mentioned spiritualists, as found in India, are named according to their respective qualifications. Human beings have two types of tendencies, artic, or material, and paramartic, or spiritual. They aim at mundane gain or at a super mundane ideal. The mundane gain-seeking propensity gives rise to such activities as body preservation, building of houses, marriage, giving birth to children, study, earning money, materialistic science, fine arts, state affairs, pious acts, etc. The activities of humans and animals are similar in many respects. But the progress of human civilization is much more refined than the instinctive movements of animals. However, those who are absorbed in mundane development, but take no effort to take shelter in the natural function of a human being, deserve to be called an animal, standing on two legs. Right. So the two groups, like that first group, is aimed at material. While the second group means that the Sardagrahi Vaishnavas, they're aimed at spiritual. Okay. Hmm. Well, let's continue from the same. Okay. From engagement in material activities up to the awakening of spiritual activities is called the preliminary stage of God consciousness. From this preliminary stage up to the Uttama Adhikari stage, there are innumerable levels. Okay, so does that make sense? From there, it's preliminary. It means material until they've surrendered. Once they've surrendered, then there's many levels. But otherwise, but before that, it's just counted as one level. It's, you know, preliminary to spiritual. Right? So on the spiritual platform, there are no levels, yes.
So how do we fill that gap between anamaya, pranamaya, and then jumping into bhakti, which is the fifth level? How do we fill, you know, dharma?
It's sad-dharma. Sad-dharma means your dharma being performed in connection to the Lord. Because the actual nature of the soul is to serve the Lord. So how are you going to serve him? You're going to serve him according to your position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in the spiritual world, they have their particular position. And they do that position in connection with the Lord. Right? Well, in the material world, then you don't have a natural spiritual position. You have a conditioned position. But you're using the same principle of engaging that in the service of the Lord. So that's where Varnashram comes in. Varnashram simply defines what is your position and how to connect that to the Lord. That's what it's for. While in the spiritual world, you have your position and you learn from the others how to engage then in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? You know, someone's born into Vrindavan and they're a cowherd boy, so they learn from the actually advanced, the Nitya Siddhas, the eternal associates, how to be a cowherd boy in Krishna's service. You know, or Mother Jashoda, and someone who's an adult, then they learn from Mother Jashoda how to be in the parental ras in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? But here, then you have to learn from the, you know, the saints and sages and the, you know, more those more advanced in the culture, how to use that in the Lord's service. So that means the technique of it is also learned. In the spiritual world, they learn. It's not that you're born automatically knowing how to play madanga. Someone teaches you how to play madanga or how to sing or how to cook. They actually teach you, just that you don't have any conditioning, so there's nothing to block learning it. So then one learns, you know, quite efficiently. Does that make sense? You know, so all that learning goes on. Skills are learned. But the point is it's being learned directly connected to Krishna. So that's sad-dharma. So you can use the same thing here. You're just using inferior ingredients. Does that make sense? It's the same thing. It means cooking with inferior ingredients is not a separate system than cooking with superior ingredients. Cooking is cooking, right? So dharma is dharma, right? So it's meant to be used for Krishna, so that's sad-dharma. Now, if you use sad-dharma not for Krishna, then we just call that varnashram of the world. That's asuric varnashram. But when varnashram is used for Krishna, which is, you know, which is natural, that's daiva varnashram. So daiva varnashram and sad-dharma are the same thing. They're just different names, depending on which element you want to bring out. Does that make sense? But we don't necessarily catch that. And so that's religion. Things below that technically aren't religion. That's why they're called Upadharma, Chala Dharma, all these other kinds of Dharma. Because they're almost not quite, or, you know, there's some. It's not exactly Dharma because it doesn't address the soul's relationship with God. You know, and so therefore one's activities are all connected to the Lord. Does that make sense? You know, some part of it might, but what about the rest of it?
So then without training and practicing, we can actually develop Krishna consciousness?
No, that's the whole, that's why association of devotees is the most important element. That's why without, that's why the elements that that offenses to Vaishnavas, that's considered the worst, because that's actually how you get trained to be one. You know, you can't offend who's teaching you, or who you learn the mood from. who you learn the example from. So that's why Vaishnavas are so important, and that culture is so important. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so if we miss that point, then that's a problem. You know, so but or even we take it for granted. It's going, of course we know all that, but what about, you know, but we're focused on this, but that's the problem, is where it becomes too prominent, then it takes on this nature of Bharavahi Vaishnavas, ash like devotees of the Supreme Lord who only carry the burden of external rituals. So just because you change the external ritual for something Vedic to something modern, you know, from something ritualistic to something corporate, doesn't mean that it's not an ash-like burden. Right? Unless you can actually see the connection to the Lord.
It's like your temple council.
Can be, you know, but it can be. But it's just a matter of, it means that individual can be, a group can be. It's a matter of that the one is worried about that management's going to make everything work. No, Krishna consciousness will make everything work. You manage things so that people can be Krishna conscious. By managing, you don't make Krishna consciousness. Right? You preach. You give association. Does that make sense? So a group working together can do that. Or a group working together can be just focused on just the management. So it depends on the consciousness where it's focused. You know what I'm saying? Because it means your example is a different concept. Okay. It's a different categorization. You know what I'm saying? Because in here we're just talking about, do you see that the externals is what's making bhakti work? Or do you see that it's the devotion that makes bhakti work? That's why he's saying saragrahi. Sara means the essence. So saragrahi means, the swan-like means those who take the essence only and leave the rest. Right? Why let's use the swan? Because you can give it half milk, half water. Mix it. Mix milk and water. Put it in a bowl. Give it to a swan. They'll drink the milk and leave the water. They can actually do that. They'll just stick their beak in and they can pull out the milk. And the water will stay. That's why the example is given. So that's what it means. They take the essence. So much is there, so the Vaishnava, Saragrahi Vaishnava, will take just the essence. It doesn't mean he doesn't follow the rules, but it just means the rules are in support of the essence, not that the rules are the essence, or the rules produce the essence. You know what I'm saying? Let's say we have a juicer, right? Now, its point is to make juice. So by having the machine, do I have juice? Or if I think just by using the machine, whatever it was, turning it on and off, I have juice? You have to know what juice is to be able to get juice, and you have to know the process. The juicer isn't what produces juice. Otherwise, you get it there, and then, you know, it works. You just, you know, anytime you want, there's a glass of juice there. Right? Now the question is, do you have to take it out of the box, or can you leave it in the box, right? Right? Does that make sense? So the point is it's, you can use it to get the juice, but only someone with the knowledge of its use and knowledge of the goal can actually get juice. That's what I'm saying. So therefore, any ritual, any management, any economics, you can use it to get service to Krishna. But you can't say that it itself is service to Krishna. That's the bewildering thing. That's where it goes back to. Is that we make the mistake that the external is the devotional service. Does that make sense?
Prabhupada understood those things, so he got a good result. You know, he understood the goal and the aspect.
Means he understands, so he gets, but it's steady. You see, his steadiness is there. But the point is how do you define good result?
Based on sad-dharma.
Okay, so, and what's the goal of sad-dharma?
Bhakti.
Yes, so to please Krishna. So therefore they may be sitting there and they don't necessarily have money to pay the rent, but they have devotees. So that's, you can't buy devotees. You know, you can go out and do business, get money, you know, you can do so many things to get money to pay the rent. Does that make sense? But to make devotees, so that's where the point is, because he follows Sad-Dharma. He's getting the results of Sad-Dharma, which is others engaged in Sad-Dharma.
But then sometimes in the modern sense now, then we see that it's like in order to get the economics, something is done to make the economics, but then there's nothing going on.
Yeah, it means once you have the money, then what do you do with it? So if you become attached to the money, then what's the point? You know what I'm saying? The money's there to use in Krishna's service. It's not that by having money, then everything goes well. No, by using money in Krishna's service, things go well. Okay. The five qualities, tama, rajas. The five qualities, tama, rajastama, raja, rajasattva, and sattva, are generated from people's five gross propensities. Scholars have considered these five levels of propensities and qualities from bottom to top. Datta kostuba. That's interesting. So this is how you get these levels of consciousness. Inquiring about the truth of the material world is called Shakta Dharma, because the predominating deity of the material world is Goddess Durga. All behavior and practice instructed in Shakta Dharma is helpful only in the preliminary stage. Such behavior and practice is meant to bring one closer to spiritual life. And materialistic people may be attracted by this only until they begin to inquire about the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Shakta Dharma is the living entity's initial spiritual endeavor, and it is extremely essential for people of that level. Right. Okay, so here's an interesting view. Now we're taking here, this is from Bhagavad Dharma Vichar, from Krishna Samhita. Okay, and Bhagavad Dharma Vichar. So now you're talking about how the preacher looks at the world, right? So now, but he's taking this as that uttama level, that everyone is Krishna's devotee. So everyone is searching for Krishna. But everything that they're doing until they actually surrender to the bona fide Vaishnavas and develop that faith in Krishna, and that Krishna's, you know, form is eternal, right? I'm his servant. Then that's all preliminary, right? So therefore, he's pointing out that by being on this one, it brings one closer to spiritual life, and that you're inquiring. You're at least inquiring. That element is there. But you're only inquiring about material nature. That's all. So now if someone becomes proud of that or identifies with that too strongly, then it will be very difficult for them to progress in spiritual life because they've missed the point of what that inquiry is for. Right? So, it says, materialistic people may be attracted by this only until they begin to inquire about the Supreme Absolute Truth. Then that interest starts to go down. Right? So that's, but it says it's very, it's extremely essential for people of that level. In other words, if you're materialistic, that level is actually important for them. Because otherwise, how do they engage themselves? How do they keep this going? So as preliminary, it's great. But once you take up the spiritual life, then that's not so important. Yes?
It's interesting that only in India nowadays we can see all of those groups present, actually.
Yes.
Because in the West they don't exist.
The West is meant for, means good point, means 11th canto is discussing this point, is that India, as we said, being the station, right? And then that means everything, all the things are here. Everything's available here. Whatever's available to go up or to go down. Right? But now let's say you choose up, but you only go to that place up that specifically you focused on. And if you go down, you only go to that place you specifically focus on. Right? Yeah. You notice that? So, like, in India, though, it's not that big of a tract of land. I mean, it's not that small. You know, I mean, it's bigger than Monte Carlo or something. But, you know, it's not that big, you know. At least if you're from Russia or America or China, then you know, Australia, then it's like, it's not that big, right? You know, but, you know, other places it might be, you know, it's okay. It's a good size, you know, like that. But the point is in that area, every kind of geographic experience that there is, you find it in India. There's nothing that's not that's somewhere else that's not here. You know, the standard of life, everything's here. The cultural elements are here. The economics are here. So it's like you're saying, everything is here. So if you can deal with India, then the rest of the world's very easy. There's nothing that will surprise you anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, have you ever ridden on the Srut Ganj bus, the Krishnagar, on the top?
Bus.
Yeah. No. Okay. There's a certain place you want to be. It's basically one third from the front, because one third from the front, when the branches come along, the force of the bus pushes them up so they go over your head. Then they drop down again. So if you don't want to have to duck too much, you sit at that point. If you're forward, it's coming up. If you're back, it's coming down. So, you understand? So if you've done that, you know, or have you ever ridden from, you know, the Shelda train? I mean, Krishnagar to Shelda,
yeah.
But not on the first class Bhagirathi.
No.
Yeah. So if you can get on that, you know, there's nothing that you're going to find, you know, in the, you know, the Far East or in Africa or South America that's going to freak you out. You understand? So that's the thing. If you can handle India, you can the world, everything's there. So the point is that then if someone is here and they use it properly, they elevate themselves in consciousness and move up. Right? If they don't, then depending upon that particular distraction, they go to that. If it's still enough to maintain human life, they go to that place in the world that has that mentality. You know what I'm saying? Means I can remember being in Calcutta dealing with the Bengalis. That you get guys that, you know, if you've seen Germans, they're German. They're just Bengalis who have that German mentality. You know, or they're French, you know, or like this. You just get them, you just see them, so you can tell where they're going, you know, like that. It's just so clear. You get it very, very clear here. You know what I'm saying? You know, you get these, you know, Indian girls and they try to dress up like Westerners, right? At least, you know, from our part of the world. Then, you know, all those girls from the Caribbean, you know, up in America, when they dress up, they look just the same, you know? So, you know where they're going, you know? You know, somehow they think they were very Western, very up-to-date. No, it's not, you know, it's I mean, if you're taking the magazines to be what you're looking for, you missed it, you know? But if you want to fit in, you're doing great, you know, like that.
It's like us trying to be Indians. Like us trying to be Indians, the same.
On one level, but actually we're most of the time better Indians than the Indians. Like that.
Simple.
Yeah. But at least we kind of a little bit know how to blend it, you know. At least if someone knows how to do some of the things, you know. You learn that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in other words, it may appear as very specific in one area. There'll be variety within it. You know, there has to be, just like we were saying before. The north of the country is always a little bit more formal in that, or not, let's say, formal or individualistic than the south. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like you go down there. So south of France will be much more pleasant and nice than the north. But then below that, you have North Italy. So then they're the ones that are dry. You have to go to South India. I mean, South Italy, you know, to get. You know what I'm saying? So that it's just the way it is. So it's within the country you get the mentality and its variety. And then from one country to the next, you get the mentalities. Okay, well, it's better than something else. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. So in other words, here he's talking about what is the mentality. So you'll see it being applied, like the Shakta Dharma applied according to the Shastra Shakta Dharma. So they have the mentality and they're following specifically the recommended lifestyle. Because we mentioned about the devotees who are distracted by these things, you know, who are following the Vedic culture, and then those who are not, you know, means, and those who are following it, understanding the real essence of bhakti. Now outside of India, they'll have the same mentality, and whatever is their equivalent, they'll be following, but they won't. It won't be on that platform that's recommended by the Vedas. So. Means the Vedas are recommending things. Following that actually situates you on one level in goodness. But it's not that your mentality is not that of ignorance. Right? So at least your situation is better. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.